This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Dear friends, in Christ, united in our common Christian faith, especially today, Noah and Jessica. In our first reading for today, we see the last part of God's creating of the heavens and the earth. And specifically, we zoom in upon the creation of man and woman. It begins with God creating the man out of the dust of the ground, forming him in just the right way. And then, when he is put together just right, God breathes the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man becomes a living creature. Now, it might seem like not that big of a deal, because God had been making creatures all day long on that day of creation. And each creature that God made, he said, was good. But there's something different that happens when God makes the man out of the dust of the ground. God looks at the man whom he has made and speaks a word about him. He says, it is not good that the man should be alone. Everything else was good, from the light to the trees to the seas, even the little dolphins were all good. But it was not good, not at all, that the man was alone. God is not going to leave things in this not good state. So he brings every creature before the man, both to receive a name and also to see if that would be a good helper and mate for the man. But no suitable partner was found upon any of the creatures found. So God puts the man to sleep and takes from his side a rib, a big hunk of flesh, and he molds and shapes that rib into the woman and brings her to the man. Now, we hear those words all the time when we read the book of Genesis, and we pass over them very easily. We're tempted to think it's no big deal. God took a hunk of flesh from the side of the man. Those words are very important. For the woman is made in the exact same way that the church is made, just from a different person. Now you see this depicted behind me right here, Christ hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying to forgive sins. And after he is dead, after he has paid the price for all the sins of all the world, he's stabbed in the side. You see the wound depicted there. And out flowed blood and water. And from blood and water, God forms the church. He gives the blood out in the Lord's Supper for Christians to drink, to receive the forgiveness of sins. He pours out the water in the waters of holy baptism. And in these two things, God makes his bride, the church, all of us united in that common Christian faith through baptism and the Lord's Supper as means, become Christians. Do you see the parallel? Adam is asleep, just like Christ is dead. God takes a hunk from his side, just like water and blood flow from the side of Jesus. God makes a bride for the man, just as he makes his bride the church for his son. Now, after God made the woman from the side of Adam, he unites them together with these words, which are the foundation of marriage, the very reason that we are gathered here today. God says, "For this reason, marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, then, let not man separate." It's the very first wedding, the very first marriage. And now God has rectified the problem we began with. It was not good for the man to be alone. And so now he has his bride. And now God looks at all that he has made, and he says that it is good. Very good, in fact. And that's point one to consider today. Marriage is good. Marriage is good not because I say so in the sermon today. Marriage is good not because most of us think so. Marriage is good rather because God made it so, and God said so about it. Marriage is good. It is a great blessing, which reflects the connection between Christ and the church. Husband and wife are united in that very same way. Marriage is good. This cannot be denied or ignored. Sure, after Adam and Eve got married, they did fall into sin. And with sin, everything in the world was corrupted, even marriage itself. And for that reason, marriage does not hold the sacred place in our world that it should. Rather, it often is disparaged, looked down upon, cursed, and mocked. But that's not God's fault. That's the fault of our sin, of our failures. And even though sin has corrupted marriage, it has not erased what God desires to teach about the church and his son. But rather, it still reflects it and brings it into our world, showing us something that we could not understand without God's good gift of marriage. Marriage is something, therefore, that ought to be upheld and sought after. Marriage is good, something that we should encourage our families and our children to partake in, something we should be glad for and celebrate. In fact, God says in the scriptures, through the words of Solomon, king of Israel, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." What is happening today is good, for our sin cannot undo God's good gifts. Now, our sinful world does not want us to believe that, and that's point two to talk about today. Our sinful world sees marriage, as I said earlier, as something to be mocked and abused, just as they mocked and abused Christ. And so the world today disparages marriage. You see this in our television shows, in the sitcoms. The dad is always bumbling idiot who's overweight. It's to mock marriage that that's the case. You see it in the novels that we read, all the inappropriate activities that take place in our society as well. All of these things mock and disparage marriage. You even see our world in its fallen, sinful state seeking to redefine marriage, not according to God's word that we heard, but instead according to its own wicked rationalization. All of that is an effort to hide God's good gift, to make it seem like it's unimportant, to make it a throwaway, an old-fashioned relic from our past. But it is not so. It is good. It is a blessing. Noah and Jess, I say all of these things before we get started as a foundation for the life that the two of you have ahead of you. Today, God brings the two of you together. He gifts you to the other as a blessing. God has led the two of you throughout all the days and years of your lives so that you would be able to find one another and be united today as husband and wife. And this is good. And when you enter this estate, you will have blessings. And you will also have challenges and struggles and difficulties. And it's good that you're there with one another as you have these things. You have someone to lean on, someone to support you as you go through day-to-day life. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there will be challenges. Challenges because the two of you are sinful people. I didn't know if you knew that about each other yet. The same sin that corrupted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden corrupts the two of you also, just as it does the whole world. And that sin will seek to undermine your marriage, this good gift God gives to you also. Satan will try to deceive you into believing that your marriage is not a good gift from God, but rather a burden that you must bear and suffer through. Satan in our world today even tries to convince Christians that marriage is a burden not worth bearing any longer, one that should be abandoned and thrown away with divorce and separation. Satan will constantly shout into your ears the whispers that our world says. Brief is wedded bliss, lasting is wedded bitterness. But do not listen. Shut your ears to this lie. It is not true. Do not let the world undermine the joy God gives you here today. You'll also be tempted to abandon God's design for marriage and to replace it with what the devil and the world's sinful corruption of it is. This happens in every single marriage in many different ways. And when it happens to the two of you, repent and turn to Christ. Repent of your sins and forgive the sins of your spouse. Repent. It is Lent, after all. That's why we have purple on the altar. Noah, should you ever stop cherishing Jessica as your most valuable worldly possession, repent. If you stop sacrificing every single thing that you have day in and day out to take care of her and to provide for her, repent. If you ever begin to see her as merely your live-in cook, launderer, or even cleaning lady, repent. She's more than those things. She's your bride, your wife, your very body, who you are united to and cannot be reduced merely to those worldly titles. No one ever hates his own body. He loves and cherishes it. We do the same with our brides. Christ did it for you as well. By the sweat of his brow, Christ won you from sin, death, and the devil. And so now, Noah, by the sweat of your brow, love and cherish and care for your wife. And Jessica, should you ever struggle in submitting and following Noah as your head and husband, repent. If you ever struggle to receive his love, repent. If you ever struggle to return his sacrificial love in loving service to him, repent. He is your husband, and Christ shines through his work to take care of you, even if and when he does so incompletely. And he will. For Christ is shown through his love for you, perhaps even more clearly and completely than Noah's love for you. And Christ will never abandon you or stop pouring his love out upon you as your true husband in the faith. The two of you in your life, living together by God's grace, will have struggles, especially because, Noah, you will be a pastor and minister in God's church by his grace. We'll find out in a month. Is that right? Okay. The life of a pastor is not all rainbows and unicorns, which maybe that's good. But instead, it's a life of toil, labor, persecution, and struggles. There'll be late nights, perhaps where you're at the hospital with someone dying, and Jess is stuck at home taking care of a sick red-headed child. And at that time, the two of you might be jealous of each other, or even resentful, wishing that you could do what the other one is, or disappointed that you have the task that you have. Do not give in again, but repent. Satan wants you to believe that that's the case, that the other one has it easier, that your job is easier, so that he might drive a wedge between the two of you to destroy the unity that God has given to you here and today. Trust in those difficult times, not in yourself, but rather in Christ, who bestows his gifts upon you here today and day in and day out throughout the rest of your life. And that's the reason that your marriage will make it. Till death do you part, because of God's grace. Not because of your own actions, not because of your own holiness, not because of your own piety. Your marriage makes it because of God's grace and nothing else. Christ bled and died for you, the two of you together, his bride. He bestows forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation upon you, both his bride. That's why it will be so important for the two of you to be together in worship regularly with all 12 of your 7-foot-tall red-headed children, week in and week out. 7.5 feet? I don't know. Okay. It's important to be there where God gives his gifts to the two of you, so that you may share them with one another, receiving forgiveness, sharing them with your family, sharing them with those you love, sharing them with your congregation. God's grace is the key for you. You go forth today to walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. You go forth today, united, walking in Christ's love, facing every challenge side by side, there to love and support each other, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, so long as the two of you both shall live. You go forth today in the love of Christ, and God will be with you, forgiving, strengthening, redirecting, pouring compassion upon you each and every day, just as he has up until now. The last point is that today isn't really actually about the two of you at all, then, is it? If your marriage lasts because of God's grace, it's actually about him. Today is actually about Christ and what he promises for you. He doesn't just promise his love, he provides it. He fulfills the cost necessary to receive it. He forgives you where you fall short. He does what you are unable. He cleanses you from all of your sins, so that you might be presented to him spotlessly, without blemish. He sacrifices for you. You receive his love and follow him. He gives his life for you. You gladly receive it, united in body, mind, and spirit. Today is actually all about Jesus, who will not abandon you, no matter what tomorrow brings. And so we close in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.